You're listening to an exclusive podcast of The Garden Show with Charlie Dobbin. Heard every Saturday morning at 9 on Zoomer Radio, the new AM 740. Welcome, friend, to our weekly garden party. We hope you brought along your questions because it's time to dish the dirt. On The Garden Show with Charlie Dobbin, exclusively on Zoomer Radio.
Well, good morning, Charlie.
And good morning to you, Franklin.
Here we are on the show before Christmas. And all through the house.
The day after the winter solstice.
Oh.
So shortest day of the year was yesterday. And guess what?
Yes.
Today's longer, more daylight today than yesterday.
I think it's the second longer.
Whatever.
Yeah. We'll
Thinking
take it.
On the bright side.
We
yeah.
will take it.
Yes,
yeah,
days
yeah.
are getting longer.
It's amazing, isn't it? The sunset is so quick.
I know.
And my Lord.
And so early.
Oh, yeah.
But not for long.
No.
Not for long.
No.
And it's real windy out there today. I felt feel a bit like Mary Poppins.
You know.
I got blown in by the wind.
As I'm explaining to you, I've caught this darn cold, mm-hmm. and it's just plaguing me. Ugh. I woke up at 1:30 in the morning after going to bed about 10:30.
Wow.
Couldn't get back to sleep, so I thought, oh, the heck with this. I got a number of things I got to do at the station. Anyway, I came in at 4 o'clock
wow.
this morning. But coming down the 404, I felt the car kind of, I thought, what the heck's going on?
Shifting in the wind, yeah.
It was the wind.
Yeah. Were you
yeah.
the only car on the 404, probably?
No, I was surprised. There were other folk out there, too.
Amazing. Crazy. Yeah, I guess going to work.
Well, at this time of year, and it's a nutty time of year anyway, isn't
True.
It? You're trying to figure
Too
out
much.
Who's going where for Christmas dinner and, oh, Lordy.
And who's got presents covered and who's cooking.
Yeah.
And did we order a turkey? I went to order a turkey at my normal turkey place,
yeah.
and they were out of turkeys.
No kidding.
And now
oh.
I hear they're out of Christmas trees in a lot of places.
Oh, egads.
Yeah, the Christmas tree, there's a bit of a shortage in the live Christmas tree market right
Can
now.
Can we blame any of this on Mr. Trump?
No, blame it on 9 years ago during the recession. They didn't plant as many.
Oh,
and that's what they are. They're
really?
8-9 year old trees.
Oh, for gosh sakes.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, there you go.
Well, there you go. Anyway, I better get you phone numbers because folks
better.
Want to. Well, we have a couple of calling in right now. But a phone number here in Toronto is 416-360-0740. Anywhere else in the province, toll free 1-866-740-4740. And oh, yeah, our little mantra if you are calling. Wait a minute now. Call early,
like,
call often, one question per call.
Like our smart callers that are currently
yes,
waiting online.
Exactly. And so shut up and get going, Frank.
Call early.
And
that way you'll get on.
Thank you.
Call more than once.
Yeah.
Call often.
Exactly.
Yeah.
If
one
you're a first-time caller, let us know. And when your turn, you'll be greeted by
the wings.
Bells. Your garden wings. That's
yeah,
right.
Yeah. yeah. So just a reminder, if you haven't done your shopping for your favorite
yeah.
gardener, there's some great new books out there.
Oh, boy,
for
yeah.
For sale. Remember last week we had Ben Cullen here and his dad Mark came on the phone for a few minutes just to promote their new book called Escape to Reality.
All the proceeds going to the Highway of Heroes? Fun. I think it's
yeah,
wonderful.
Yeah, and for sale at the Toronto mm-hmm. Botanical Gardens. If you buy it there, you will get $10 off a Toronto Botanical Garden membership.
Super.
And the other book that we've talked about on the show was the Toronto Gardener's Journal and Source Book,
uh-huh.
which is an excellent, excellent resource for anybody in Southern Ontario. It's not specific to Toronto, but it is published in Toronto. Just a wonderful, wonderful, good information and designed as a journal, basically, that you will track. And we always forget from year to year what we loved and what we didn't love so much.
Right.
So
yeah.
Writing it all down can really help.
Okay. Our lines are getting jammed up here, so
Good.
We better scoot along to our first commercial break and come back and say hi to our old friend Josephine, who got in front of the line again this week. Good for you, Josephine. We'll be along to chat with you in moments.
Fur and feathers and bugs of all size. There's more going on in the garden than you realize. Should small creatures become a big problem, then you've got The Garden Show with Charlie Dobbin. Exclusively on Zoomer Radio.
Pickering, oh, Pickering. Oh. That guy in that ad. Anyway, that's where we're going, Pickering, and
yes.
saying hi to Josephine. Hi, Josephine.
Good morning.
Thank you, Charlie. How are you?
Great. How are you?
Good. Are you all prepared for Christmas?
Yeah,
well, sort of.
Too late.
Yeah. No, getting there. I mean, it's only the 22nd.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's true. It's my daughter's birthday today.
Oh, is that right?
Well,
yeah.
happy birthday to her.
Yeah, happy
yeah.
birthday.
What's on your mind this morning?
Okay. I didn't get a chance to get my bulbs in the fall because I was sick. So if I put them out in the shed, are they going to freeze?
Probably. What kind of bulbs?
Tulips and daffodils.
Yes, they're probably going to freeze and probably going to die.
What about if I keep them in a cool spot where I keep my canna lilies?
You could. The only thing is that they will not stay dormant. I mean, they will shrivel up if you keep them above ground. How many are there? Like just a dozen or so or lots?
No, there's three bags.
You know, the ground isn't completely frozen.
Yeah, I know, but my back says no.
Well, get that daughter whose birthday it is today to give you
put her to work.
A birthday present for
I was wondering about.
Yeah, so the best thing is they are ready to go. All they need is a little bit of chilling, and they will start to grow.
Right.
And that's why we put them in the ground, then they grow, of course, in the spring.
Yeah.
If you put them in a root cell or something like that, again, they will start to grow, so you don't want them growing in the bag.
No, I don't want them growing in the bag.
Can you pot them up into pots?
Yeah, I think I can.
Then, you know,
put them outside?
Well, you'd have to bury the pots.
Okay,
that's the same as burying the bulbs.
Oh, well,
but you could potentially pot them into pots, bag them so that it's dark, like dark bags, garbage bags, whatever. Put them in that root cellar and leave them alone. It's December, so January, February. By the middle of March, how cold is your root cellar?
Pretty cold.
Like less than 10? Like refrigerator type temperature or warmer?
It's a little, I would say it would be refrigerator type.
Oh, that's perfect.
Oh,
so
well.
If you can pot them up, and seriously, every pot, just jam them in there and don't bury them all right under the soil. You can leave them half buried and half out.
Right.
Fill every pot, not like in the ground, we would have spaces between the bulbs. But in a pot, you can jam them all in there.
Yeah.
So fill up pots, potting soil, water once, dark however
green
you're going to do it.
Bag.
I use plastic bags just because they're kind of muddy, but they have to be kept dark. And so into that cool spot, give them 10 weeks, 12 weeks, even 13 weeks. And at that point, you peek inside the bag and they will be growing.
Okay, so I have a tip for people with poinsettias.
Right. Oh, what's that?
Don't overwater them. You'll drown them.
That's true. That's true, which is every plant except for water plants.
Well, the point said I thought that it needed more water than it did, and guess what? It looks very shriveled.
Yeah, stop watering it.
Killing it with
kindness. It's gone.
Yeah, it's easy to do. Always feel the soil. It's got to feel on the dry side between waterings.
Well, Josephine, I'm glad to hear you're on the mend there after maybe a bit of a bad spell a few months ago, you're back on track, kiddo.
Yeah, so get those bulbs planted up, and then you will enjoy them indoors. You'll have them growing
probably
inside.
Probably around mid-March, you'll be giving us a call to say, hey, guess what?
Yeah, they're all blooming indoors. And then you get them in the ground this spring or summer. At some point, get them in the ground. They will come up the following spring.
Thanks, Josephine. Merry Christmas to you, too. All righty, on to Ajax. There's Ella on the line. Good morning and Merry Christmas to you, Ella.
Thank you. Merry Christmas to you.
Good morning.
Good morning, Charlie.
What's going on?
I was given a cyclamen, and I have no idea how to look after it.
Have you got a bright spot in your home? What's the light levels like in your home, window-wise?
No.
No windows?
Well, windows, but not. I don't have a windowsill that I could sit the pot on.
No. Can you? The cyclamen like a bright spot. It doesn't have to be right in a window, but it does like to be in a bright spot. So don't be putting it in the middle of the dining room table and expect it to be super happy. The other thing is cyclamen like it cool. So that's where windowsills can be handy, because windowsills tend to be quite chilly.
Uh-huh.
So the coolest spot you can give it, the brightest spot you can give it, and only water from below. So, of course, it'll be sitting in a saucer.
Yeah.
And when it's time to water, you're going to feel the surface of the soil. When the surface starts to feel dry, you're going to pour water into the saucer below, and the water will be absorbed up through the drainage holes of the pot.
Okay.
Yep. And you can enjoy it for actually years. Cyclamen will last for years, and they'll bloom for months and months. If you water them properly, give them bright light, and the cooler temperatures keep them happier.
Okay. He's a first-time caller, too.
Oh, gee,
I wondered about that.
Wait a minute. Do
I
we have that? No,
recognize
now.
Ella's
did not.
Name.
Just a second.
There you go.
There we are.
Wings. A double set of wings.
Yeah. Thanks very much.
Thanks for calling. That was fun. Hey, we skid to our next commercial break here, and then we come back to say hi to Steve in Mississauga. I'll let you know, folks, that we do have open lines there right now. Matter of fact, in Toronto, give a call to 416-360-0740. And then if you're anywhere in the province, it is toll-free, 1-866-740-4740. We'd love to have the opportunity to even say Merry Christmas
yeah,
to you.
Yeah, so share tips, ask questions.
Give us a little ding-a-ling.
Yeah.
Huh? Okay, back in a moment here on Zoomer Radio.
Daffodils and daisies, bluebells and begonias, forsythia and foxgloves, marigolds, magnolia, lavender and lupins, dahlias, delphiniums, stocks, fox, hollyhocks, tulips and sweet williams.
You've picked the right place for everything floral. This is The Garden Show with Charlie Dobbin, exclusively on Zoomer Radio.
You know, Charlie, I thought it a lot, and I've never asked the question, what the heck are tweedums? In that little jingle, is something tweedums? No?
I have no idea.
Uh-oh. Okay. We'll have to
you
do some heavy-duty research.
Well, common names. Remember, everybody's got, you know, different names. If it's referring to a flower, that one plant can have multi common names.
Well, there you go.
Depending on your heritage and all that stuff.
You have solved it.
Very I hope good. So.
Steve in Mississauga, welcome to the show and Merry Christmas.
Hi, thank you, Frank, and it's nice to talk to you, Charlie.
Good morning.
What can I say? I'm simply calling to express my appreciation, as always, for your advice.
Good.
And if I may, how much I appreciate how the connections have been made with sundry neighbors when it comes to the donations to my backyard.
Oh, yeah, right. I remember
yeah,
this.
You sent me a great email.
Yeah, sure do.
Yeah, and gardeners are friendly people.
I really sincerely appreciate all and sundry, and I want to express that at this time.
Thanks for calling.
And we do accept cash donations. Oh, that's wrong.
It all started with a Rose of Sharon, right? You were looking for Rose of Sharon.
That's right. Yeah.
And you ended up with meeting all kinds of people, getting all kinds of Rose of Sharon plus other plants, right?
That is absolutely true.
and nice sharing went on, I think, between you and your neighbors through that process. So, gotta love gardeners. So,
indeed. What can I say? Aside from I'm really appreciative, and I thank them all. And they know who they are. They remained anonous, they said, but so be it.
That's
so
fine.
Meanwhile, all the best. Happy Christmas.
Thank you. Thanks for your appreciation, and thanks to you know, all the support around us. So yeah, Merry Christmas to
nice
you.
Nice note, Steve. Thanks so much.
Yeah.
Hey, I'm reaching for the bell.
Oh, getting some exercise today.
Yeah. Oh, that was a good ring. Oh. That's for Tanya calling in from Barrie. Good morning, Tanya.
Good morning.
Good morning. Welcome to the show.
Thank you. I have a jade.
Yes.
It's about 40 years old.
Wow.
And it's in a clay 12-inch, like 10-inch across soil at the top. And the pot is about 10 inches tall, and it's 32 inches from the soil level.
Okay, so it's 32 inches tall out of that 10-inch pot, yeah?
Yeah, and I have it facing south-southwest by the patio doors, and it's on a Lazy Susie so I can turn it.
Oh, nice, yeah, good.
Now, I last transplanted it about 6 years ago, and it was a solid cement root ball, and I didn't do anything about it. So that's my problem, is that I need to transplant it, and I'm afraid to kill it now.
So when you did that transplanting 8 years ago, did you move it up a pot size at that time?
I did.
Okay, so that's how you dealt with that solid mass of roots.
Yes, in a clay pot.
And it's great you got it in a clay pot. It's great you've got it in so much sun, and it's great that you've got it on that Lazy Susan, or you know, that can spin it. Obviously a happy plant 40 years in. So first off, if you're going to do some transplanting, which you're right, 8 years, it probably would really love to be transplanted.
Oh, yes.
Don't do it now. It is a stressful time right now to be transplanting plants. Better to wait till we're more, at least February, even March, if you can wait till March, just because as the days start to get longer, plants respond to the longer day length, and they kind of wake up and get all invigorated and put out some growth. And so because transplanting is stressful, we like to do that stress to them when they're more likely able to withstand because of all that vigor that the longer days will be causing them to be growing happily. So it's just an easier process for the plant to get through in the spring. You could go up a pot size, but again, how big can you go, right? Like, how big do you want this plant to be? You can keep it in the same size pot by doing some root pruning in the process of taking it out of the current pot, getting out your butcher's knife and trimming off on the around the outside of that root ball some of the roots. It could be as much as a half an inch all the way around the root ball, including the bottom. Just with a sharp, clean knife, removing some roots, scrub the pot, fresh potting soil, back into the same size pot. And we do that sometimes because the plant just keeps growing. Now, jades grow slowly, so it's not a problem. But some of the tropicals, they'll just outgrow and take over our house if we let them. So, up to you. But it probably would love and appreciate a repotting after 8 years.
Oh, I know it would.
Yeah.
Yeah. And I know it's going to take two people to do it.
Yeah, I would think. You know why? Because when you lean it over to take the pot off, you don't want to unnecessarily break any leaves or stems off. So, with some help, you should be able to more easily keep it from sort of lying on the table. Some plants easily lie down, but not jades.
Can I do it more in the spring so I can take it out on the deck?
Sure, absolutely.
Okay.
Yeah, wait till you're frost-free, so then we're more into like May, maybe June, depending on the weather.
Well, my problem has been the last 3 or 4 years is that it's gotten so heavy.
Yeah, right.
I have to get, like it's in a patio door, and I have to get it over the
sill.
Step, and that's where my problem is.
And don't you be doing that alone, because those clay pots, even empty, are heavy. Put a plant in, and they're heavier. And if you're in about a 10-inch pot now, I mean, you could go up to a 12-inch, but again, it's just going to be that much heavier.
Remember the Rent-A-Sun company used to recommend?
Yeah, but I don't think it exists anymore.
Anyway, get friends to help you.
For
sure,
for sure,
Tanya.
And yeah, you're right. Doing it outside alleviates the mess somewhat, too. So, keep it simple. But yeah, great. Good story. I like that jade that's that old.
It is. I actually had it blooming for 3 or 4 years.
Wow. Oh, that's a happy plant.
Yes. But,
they don't bloom easily in our climate.
Hey, thanks for being a first-time caller, Tanya. Don't be a stranger, okay?
Okay. And I won't kill the plant, will I, when I transplant it?
You shouldn't. I mean, if you're ready, you've got...
It's so root-bound.
Yeah.
I even considered popping the root ball into a bucket of water to loosen it, and then trim it after that. Now, would that be hard on the plant?
Well, when you do the bucket of water thing, it is, you're immersing it underwater. You could do that, but you wouldn't leave it in that bucket of water. You would just...
No.
Pop it into a bucket of water for maybe a minute. Like, it wouldn't be one of those things where you leave it there for 10 minutes. And I wouldn't worry so much about loosening the roots. Seriously, get out that sharp knife and just trim the roots.
Just hack away.
Yeah,
but
hack carefully in the sense that you aren't going to leave behind sort of a mess of jagged cuts. Make sure that you've got a clean,
sharp
blade, and that the pruning you're doing leaves clean cuts behind. And it's very invigorating to the plant. You'll find a whole bunch of roots will grow from where you've done that root pruning, and that's exactly what you want.
Enough.
Right? So
I was just worried because the root ball was almost like cement when I did it.
Poor thing. And it'd love to have its roots pruned. Trust me. It would thank you. It'll be purring if you prune some of those roots.
Okay, great.
All right.
Well, thank you very much.
Yeah, thanks for calling. That's great.
All right, Tanya in Barrie
People
there.
Do
Merry
worry.
Christmas to you.
They worry about pruning.
Let's wander off to Welland.
Huh? Okay. If you insist.
All right. There's Jack. Good morning, Jack.
Good morning.
Good morning.
I'm talking about an orchid.
Uh-huh.
I just received an orchid this week.
Nice.
And I really don't know how to take care of it because I had one before that and it didn't survive.
That's okay. I've met a few orchids along the way that I easily killed, so I get it. It's not that. Sometimes at first we're not sure and we tend to do the wrong things.
That's right.
So do you have a window that faces north or east?
Yes, I do.
Because the orchid you received is likely what's called a phalaenopsis orchid, also called a moth orchid. They love that indirect light that you get in a north or east window. So don't be rushing it into some southern window or anything like that. North or east works perfectly for those orchids. Now, make sure, is it in is it in a sphagnum moss or is it in bark? What's it growing in?
It's in bark.
Okay. And is it in a a pot with, is a plastic pot or a clay pot?
It's sitting inside of a plastic pot. Uh-huh. But the outside of the pot is clay.
Okay. Oh, okay.
Like there's a liner.
Yeah, yeah. So that's nice. All right. So one of the best ways, so you've got that plan to go into that indirect bright window. That's all good. Mm-hmm. And what I do for my happiest orchids of this kind is I immerse them. The whole plant, pot, and leaves go underwater in a bucket. Some of the bark will float to the top, but that's okay. You'll scoop it out later. And you just hold that plant underwater till all the air bubbles rise to the surface. And once the bubbles stop rising, pull the plant out, put it in the kitchen sink, let it drain, pull out the bark that floated out, put it back in the pot, and let it sit there and drain for 5 or 10 minutes. And it's, of course, it's the plastic pot that you'd be immersing into that bucket of water, letting it drain into the sink for 5 or 10, and then back into that beautiful clay pot and back into the window. And you do that when the plant feels light, because it's, you can't tell dry, you can't feel the dry, but you base it basically on the weight of the plant. So you'll have to get used to being able to pull the plastic out of the clay pot, because the clay pot is heavy and you can't tell the water content of the plastic pot when it's in the clay pot. Wow. And you can't water on the calendar. Like, you can't make Sunday watering day. It depends on light levels, depends on the temperature in your house, depends on season.
Moisture meter would be a good idea, no?
Moisture meters don't work in clay. In bark.
Oh.
Don't work in bark?
No, we won't get a real reading. Because, see, remember, like, orchids their roots do not thrive in soil. Orchids very naturally grow up in the tree canopy of the rainforest. So they like that dappled light in the tree canopy. Uh-huh. They like their roots exposed to the air, not growing in soil. They basically just land in a little spot with a tiny little bit of something to get them growing, a little bit of substrate, a little bit of moisture. Seeds will germinate, orchids will grow. And that's the challenge. So there's, you know, that's what the bark is all about. The bark is there just to hold the plant up, you know, it gives it a bit of a stability, mm-hmm. but otherwise it's the moisture that gets trapped between the bark particles that the plant will absorb, but then there's that need for that water to disappear and there to be air in between mm-hmm. those bark particles, and that is, again, helps an orchid thrive. So it's that fine line, you know, you want good watering when you water, but then let it dry down between waterings.
Okay.
All right. And come spring, you could consider some fertilizer if you want. Get a special orchid fertilizer.
The instructions says to fertilize monthly.
When they're flowering, you can fertilize monthly, but generally we don't fertilize in the winter any plants except those that are flowering. So, yes.
This one's got flowers.
I bet it does. So, you know, you could buy yourself a Christmas present to go with this present and make it some orchid fertilizer.
Okay. Thank you very much.
All right, Jack.
Calling.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Have a great day and a great weekend and Merry Christmas to you.
Enjoy your orchid. Yeah, thank you. Those flowers can last, similar to the cyclamen, orchid flowers can last for months and months and months.
Once again, Franklin Proctor is reaching for the bell.
Oh, my gosh.
Yes.
You're serious.
Busy.
Yeah.
All right. That's for Rita in Nobleton, first-time caller. Hello, Rita. Merry Christmas.
Merry Christmas to you, too. I'm so glad I got you.
Excellent. Welcome.
Somebody gave me a huge rosemary plant.
Nice. Is it like a tree, the little... Yeah, the Christmas tree? Nice.
But only because where I work, we have a three-car garage that's kind of heated.
Oh, yeah.
I put it on a window, but it's so dry.
Uh-huh. So it's out in the garage now, in the window.
Yes.
Yeah, and it feels pretty crispy as we speak?
Oh, everything, yeah. When I've been using it, I use it always for cooking.
Oh, good.
But it's so brittle, it seems, I don't know, will it come back in the spring?
Probably not.
Oh!
You might have to start again with a rosemary plant.
Oh, my gosh, her mom passed away, and she thought that was the only living thing she had, and I thought I'd take care of it.
No, they are hard to keep alive inside, I find, in the winter. They're easy to keep alive all summer. They like our natural outdoor conditions, but as soon as we get into a situation where we've got heat on or dry, you know, they... Just the dryness of our you know, heated homes. Yeah. Or, and I don't know what the temperatures are like in your garage, but rosemary is good down to zero, but anything below zero, they're not happy plants. So they're what we consider tender perennials. They don't usually survive here outside, here in Southern Ontario. So that's why bringing it, you know, into the garage is a good idea. But yeah,
but that one was, he's probably 20, 30 years old.
Really?
Yeah.
Oh, my goodness. Well, you know what? If it's that old and it's, you know, sort of that established in terms of its roots, give it a, you know, rub it, mm-hmm. shake it, get all that dryness, whatever dry leaves are on it, removed. You could do some trimming, or you could wait till we get, like I said earlier, you know, February, March, days are getting longer. Do some trimming, and it might be alive. Like, the root could still be alive if it's that old. So you may get some new growth at that point. But you will probably have to prune to get that new growth happening.
Okay.
In the spring.
I will do that.
Yeah. And don't overwater. Like, feel the soil. If it's moist right now, no watering whatsoever until it's really dry. But do water thoroughly when it's dry.
Okay. Thank you very much. All right. And Merry Christmas to all.
Thank you. And you give us a call. Let us know how that works out.
Okay.
Good luck with that.
Okay. Bye. The lady with a smile in her voice. Huh?
I'm amazed that somebody had a rosemary alive for that many years, like 20 odd years.
Really?
I'm amazed. Because they are very tough to keep alive.
I'm just going to take a break here. You've been working really hard with all that information you're in.
You can see my eyes glazing over.
I have to take a little bit of a break myself. I have to cough.
Okay, there you go.
All right. And a reminder of the phone numbers here in Toronto, call 416.
I can do it.
360-0740. Anywhere else in the province, toll free, 1-866-740-4740. Go.
Don't change stations just because the weather changes. Garden tips and advice all year round. This is The Garden Show with Charlie Dobbin, exclusively on Zoomer Radio.
Well, Charlie, we're off to my old stomping grounds down there in St. Catharines. Shelley on the line. Good morning, Shelley. Merry Christmas to you.
Good morning to you as well, and hope you guys have a happy Christmas.
Thank you. You too.
I'm quite glad that we don't have any snow. we got kids and grandkids there coming, I don't have to worry so much about them driving.
Driving. It's safer driving on dry roads. I agree.
Yes.
It was a little bit of snow.
My question today, Charlie, is I have 7 begonias that I left in the pot because when I take them out of the pot and put them in that brown paper bag, they go to dust.
Right, they shrivel up. Yep.
So I thought I'm going to try leaving them in the pot in the soil and neglect them.
That can work.
Yep. Well, it's working, but I have 2 of the 7 that are starting to grow.
Oh, my.
What do I do?
Well, they need
to put them in something cooler to stop it, or do I just let them grow?
No, well, it'd be better if they didn't grow, just because they'll get really spindly inside. The light levels won't be sufficient inside your home, and they'll just end up being really spindly, and they'll fall over, and they're going to put a lot of energy into growth that's not going to be particularly healthy growth at this early in the season. Your begonias must know that today's the 22nd of December, right? Spring is coming. Cool them off. Get that temperature lowered if you possibly can. They are best at kind of refrigerator-type temperature, so, you know.
The garage then?
As long as it doesn't freeze in the garage. They do not want to be anywhere near zero. You want to be...
Well, we don't get to freezing, but we do get down to maybe in the 40s.
Okay, that's fine. Yeah, garage works. But I would those pots should be bagged, so they because you don't want light. So between light and warmth, they'll grow. So if you can lower the light levels and lower the temperature, you can keep them dormant.
Okay, I have a cupboard in the garage, actually.
Oh,
so
perfect.
Maybe if I put them in the cupboard,
perfect.
They won't get light.
Exactly,
and
perfect.
It'll be cool.
And it'll also be a little more insulated in terms of the... Yeah, exactly. Good idea. That's exactly what I would do. And then think about them in March or April. Bring them in the house. Let them wake up. Let them start growing so that they're ready to go out once we're frost-free.
So when do I start watering them in order for encouraging them?
When you bring them into the warmth.
Oh, okay.
Okay, so, of course, you're in the banana belt there, so, you know, you're frost-free by what, February?
No.
You can go golfing.
Have a long, cold winter, so I don't know.
It's hard to, I know, we never know what kind of winter or spring it's going to be. But so assume that you're going to be frost-free in early May. Bring them inside about 6 weeks before that. you know, wake them up and water them at that point.
Okay.
All right.
Excellent. Well, thank you so very much.
Thank you.
Thank you,
thanks
Shelley.
For calling.
We're in St. Catharines. Yes. It's the hometown of one of my oldest friends, dearest friends, and you know Bruce Dean.
Yes.
Bruce has the talent agency. It's called Talent House. Mm-hmm. And Shirley and I are going over to his place on Christmas Eve.
Oh, yeah.
And it's called the Pauper's Christmas, because he represents so many people in the entertainment world.
Right.
A lot of people are visiting, you know, in their
family,
they're in shows here, so they're not at home. So he invites a whole bunch of people over from the various shows are in town, and it's just going to be
hosts
a ton
a
of fun. Yeah, host a party,
it's like a family.
Feed them like crazy, and then we're going over to for church services at Roy Thompson Hall. After
like
dinner,
midnight mass. Or
yeah,
something?
Well,
really?
It's 10 o'clock, I think, to about I don't know midnight. Yeah. Something like that. But apparently it's just an absolutely lovely service, Metropolitan Community Church.
Oh, okay. Oh,
and it's, yeah, you know, non-ecumenical.
Right. Yeah, so it's
and everybody is
and
welcome. Like,
probably
sort of
great
thing.
Music, too.
Yeah, oh, yeah, yeah.
It's
yeah.
great acoustics.
So and we're looking forward to that very much. But I must admit, I am so proud of Bruce. He started in St. Catharines as a producer for the local Garden City Productions players there,
right.
you know. And he has progressed to be one of the top agents in North America.
Wow.
He's got an office in New York.
Uh-huh.
And there was a time, a couple of years ago, I think, he had more agents on more clients on Broadway than all the other agents put together.
Oh, wow.
It was really quite
so, yeah, because it's theater. He
yes,
works in theater. So
yes,
he's not
theater.
An agent for like
no.
movie stars or TV
no, no,
stars.
Yeah.
It's theater stars.
You got
wow.
it, yeah. And he represents opera singers all around
yeah,
the world
I
as
bet.
Well.
Oh, wow.
My gosh. But what a lovely success story.
I
I'm
know.
So proud of him. You know.
Nice.
Anyway, we're on to another call here. Oh, yeah, we got time. Of course.
Okay, yeah, of course.
Peter Aris, Ontario. And he's on the line. Whoops, is he?
Yes, he's
still
there.
With
good
us?
Morning,
okay.
Peter.
Hi, Peter.
Hey, good morning. How are you?
Great. Where's Aris?
Aris, that's just a little north of Guelph.
Oh,
gotcha.
Should have known that.
Question for you.
Yeah.
A friend of mine gave me a lemon tree. He moved to the States, couldn't take it with him.
Right.
He's had it for 35 years.
Uh-huh.
So he trimmed it back a bit, uh-huh. and also the ball, he trimmed that back.
Okay.
And it's doing fine. Now, he did make one comment. At one point in time, he could just about feed the whole street with lemons.
Oh, wow.
He said, but the last couple of years, not so. So my question is, do I need another, this tree will be inside, of course, in the winter, and in the summer I put it out.
Mm.
Do I need another lemon tree?
Good question. Off the top of my head, I'm just trying to think. I don't think so. I can double check this, but as far as I know, lemon trees do not require cross-pollination. And remember, even trees like apple trees that do require cross-pollination, they will self-pollinate when push comes to shove.
Uh-huh.
If there's no different pollen available, they will accept their own pollen. Mm-hmm. However, your crop will your yield would be much, much less.
Right.
So the trick with lemon trees, orange trees, but lemons are quite commonly grown as a solarium plant here. And you remember the orangeries of old time. It was all about the tropicals in those greenhouses. So it's high light levels. That's the most important thing you need in order to get those flowers forming.
Well, yeah, I have a building in which I keep tropical birds.
Oh, nice.
And so this area is full of trees and plants, and then I have some birds flying in there, and it's facing south. The windows are on the south end, so it gets indeed lots of light.
Great. Yeah, so make sure that's in one of those, you know, the very southerly end of the building, and it's right in the getting, you know, tons of light, which is great.
Right.
And it's really just a question of it getting that light, watering when required, and flowers should form, and it should be flowering by February. And very, very lovely, fragrant flowers.
Right.
So, but I can certainly check into whether there's a cross-pollination requirement for them or not. So keep listening, and I will see if I can report back on that for you. And any tips on how to, if there's more fruit in the presence of another lemon tree, maybe we can figure out how that would happen. And maybe you have to be the little bee that goes around with your little Q-tip.
Pollinating,
Yeah, exactly, your little paintbrush and... but you, with the birds flying around, you must have other life in there besides the birds. Do you get the odd insects flying around too?
Well, once in a while I get these wee tiny little white bugs in there.
Yeah. Flies. Are they flying insects? That you see.
That's about it.
Okay.
Yeah, that's about it.
All right. I'll report back, see if I can provide any more information. But, yeah, good luck with that. It sounds very beautiful.
Well, it's about... It was 7.5 feet. He trimmed it back to 6.
Okay.
And the same with the balls to accommodate to get it in the car.
Oh, I see. And when did he do that trimming? This past fall?
Well, that would have been about 2 months ago.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Right. So right now, don't expect anything. It should be pretty dormant. It should be just sitting there. It should be green, but it shouldn't be doing a lot of growing. But you will expect a real big, you know, wow growth thing happening come February, March.
It does show new leaves coming already where he... when he did the trimming.
Yeah. So. And you will fertilize, too, in the spring. The tree will totally appreciate that.
I do that for the others, too.
Yeah. Cool.
Okay.
Nice. Sounds really nice.
Hey, thank you, Peter.
Nice winter refuge. a building with birds and plants, tropicals. Nice.
Yeah.
We might come visiting, actually.
Whoa. All right.
Yes.
We're going to take a little bit of a break, but let me just plug the phone lines here because, boy, we've got a complete slate open here.
We do. I have some email I wouldn't mind
sharing. Okay, that's fine. But if you would like to call in, this would be an excellent time to do that. In Toronto, call 416-360-0740. You're going to be speaking, of course, to Charlie Dobbin, Master Gardener here on Zoomer Radio. Anywhere in the province, too, toll free, 1-866-740-4740. And, we'll be back in a moment.
Fur and feathers and bugs of all size. There's more going on in the garden than you realize. Should small creatures become a big problem, then you've got The Garden Show with Charlie Dobbin. Exclusively on Zoomer Radio.
Well, Charlie, Franklin has reached the bell again.
I'm telling you, this is a busy day for you.
And with this, we're going international, too.
Oh,
just
excellent.
A second here.
Hey,
that's for Dawn.
Yeah.
Javis Center, New York. Good morning, Dawn.
And welcome to the show.
Well, good morning. I have a lemongrass, and I'd like you to tell me how to care for it. Soil mix, temp, light, that kind of stuff.
Where did you get lemongrass? It was something you bought and grew last summer?
Yes.
And brought it in the fall?
Yes.
Okay. I've never grown lemongrass, I said to Frank. I'm going to wing it here. I've used lemongrass in cooking, but not... Well, that's not true. I did grow it outside 1 year, thinking I would use it in cooking, because it's all like Thai food, right? It's delicious. So let's assume that the best way to grow lemongrass would be the following way. Lots of light, bright spot. You're going to need a southern window or a western window. If you don't have that, you're going to need a grow light. It's because it needs bright, intense light. And you're going to treat it like any traditional grass. So grass is, like I say, high light levels, well-drained soil, and watered thoroughly when they're dry.
Okay.
And don't hesitate to do trimming. You know, continue to feed yourself using the lovely culinary uses of lemongrass. And new growth, of course, the little clump should get bigger and bigger and bigger. Lemongrass never gets taller than about 12 inches tall.
Okay.
Very good. Yeah.
All right.
Enjoy that. That's a great idea. Like I said, I did grow it once, but it died in the frost. I didn't try to bring it in, but nice idea to bring it in.
And a Merry Christmas from north of the border for you.
Yeah.
Merry Christmas to you, too. Okay.
Thanks for calling.
You're welcome.
Bye-bye. There's Dawn from Javis. We should have asked her where that
Javis Center.
Javis Center in New York is. In any case,
and here we go again. Your arm is nonstop.
Frankie Proctor.
Good
Mary in Hamilton, first time caller. Good morning.
Good morning.
Good morning. How are you today?
Excellent.
Great.
Good. I'm a little bit nervous.
No worries.
During that first snowstorm we had back in November, the lady across the street had a panic attack, was trying to get into her driveway, smashed into her garage door. But before she did that, she ended up on my side of the street and broke a big branch off of my Japanese maple tree, which has been there for over 35 years.
Oh, dear.
So my question is, and she was very upset. She said, we'll pay. I called the nursery, and they said a mature tree like that is $1,000. A 4-foot tree, $250.
Yeah, no,
now,
they're expensive.
I said I can't expect her to replace it. But should I replace it? It's looking lopsided now. Mm-hmm. What should I do with it?
You know what I do? Because it's hard to say, you know, from over the radio. Yeah, I would call a local certified arborist to, and like Davey Tree is a good example. They're mm-hmm. all over Canada, Davey.
Yeah.
Call them, get a certified arborist on your property and get an analysis from them. There's no charge for that evaluation, and they'll suggest one of two things. One is proper pruning, because if it was broken and it's a ragged, jagged cuts, then it's going to be a clean that up. And of course, if your neighbor's going to pay for it, the bill will go to your neighbor. Mm-hmm. But they might say, you know what, this is a tree that's been so severely damaged, it's never going to either look the same or thrive as it has mm-hmm. been. Oh. So they may recommend that it be replaced. Now, yeah, you're right. The 35-year-old tree is a big tree to be
Ooh,
replacing.
Yeah.
But you can certainly get, yeah, I'm trying to think, probably the $400, $500 tree is, yeah, it might be 5 feet tall, 6 feet tall, mm-hmm. As a replacement, and then yeah. allow it to grow into its own. But
it was looking so nice. My neighbor, another neighbor was helping me prune it.
Oh,
it
boy.
Was really spectacular when you turn down the street and you see this Japanese
Damn.
Maple,
oh,
right?
Yeah. Oh,
break your heart, yeah.
I don't know how she did it, but we put pruning spray on it to yeah. sort of
yeah the pruning paint is not a good idea. It actually does more damage than good, so yeah, get on to Davey, get somebody in that, you know, they work year round, and when we do pruning on maples, we often do it at this time of year when they're dormant,
okay,
as opposed to the spring. So yeah,
okay,
that's what I would do. Give us a call, let us know how that turns
yeah,
out.
Yeah, please yeah. keep okay. in touch, Mary. Okay,
yeah, appreciate
thank you.
The call.
Have a Merry Christmas.
Thank
and
you
same to you.
You too. Quick, before we have to do anything, I just yeah. want to share this email with you from yeah. Heather McCowan. She has a money tree, and she sent some pictures of her money tree, and she's worried about spider mites because mm-hmm. It's a 2.5-year-old plant, but it's a very large tree. So she's, you know, quite concerned and wants to keep it alive, and she's talking about little drops of sticky stuff on the underside of the leaves, and she can't see any insects but or webbing, but she just, you know, is quite confident there's mm-hmm. some infestation. And then she jumps into another problem. So we'll just work with the one for now. But I did want to say, she signs off by saying, love your show. I try to listen every week. I'm a close friend of Shirley's, so I think Frank is the greatest also.
I know Heather. She's a wonderful gal.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So, Heather,
terrific.
About your money tree, my response is, don't worry. If you can, I can see the tree is fairly large, but either by yourself or with help, get that plant into your bathtub. Get out a spray, whether it's a Safer soap or it's a Pyrethrin Bug Be Gone spray. Spray that plant so thoroughly till it's dripping. That's why you want it in the bathtub.
Yep.
Spraying under the leaves. You know, you want to get thorough coverage of the entire plant with an insecticide. Let that sit there for 10 or 15 minutes till it dries. Turn on the shower. Clean that whole mess off with tepid water. Let it drain into the bathtub and then back to its location. And I think you'll find that the problem will be solved.
Right. And let me take this opportunity, Heather, to wish you a very, very Merry Christmas.
That's right. Thank you for thanks for the email.
Nice
I love email. And I think Frank's pretty special, too.
Well, thank you very much. And you know something?
Yes.
Now, we know, of course, Monday night is Christmas Eve, but a week after that,
we're gonna
New Year's Eve,
here.
And there's going to be a bash here at
That's
the station.
Right. Gotta love it.
The whole
New Year's
gang's
bash.
Coming. Yeah, it's going to be wild.
I know. I love that station party. I'll be here.
Yeah.
So will you.
Yes, indeed. My lampshade and all.
Oh, no. Not that same lampshade from last year. So anyway, thank you. Thank you, Frank. Thank you, Sebastian. Merry Christmas to everybody. We will be back here next Saturday. And remember, days are getting longer. It's all good. See you then.
This has been an exclusive podcast of The Garden Show with Charlie Dobbin. Heard every Saturday morning at 9 on Zoomer Radio, the new AM 740.